Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Just got done speaking in the last hour with Joe DeVito. Always fun to have a conversation with Joe or any of the fun comedians that we get to talk to from Gutfeld. If you missed that, you can check it on the Annie Fry Show podcast. We're going to do Ask Us Anything here in the next segment, so a little less than 20 minutes. So if you've ever wanted to ask us a question, you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and just leave a comment in the live chat right now, and we will filter in some of your questions to the next segment. You can also vote in today's ever-present, ever-important YouTube live chat poll: orange juice, pulp, or no pulp. A couple reactions here that we have gotten from all of you. RSG said, the best orange juice is the kind you have to chew. Orange, you glad it's all pulp. Thank you. Mike G said, pulp. Otherwise, it's Pulp Fiction.
That's funny, too.
They're trying to bring the show quality up a little bit.
Yeah.
STLSTG said, no pulp, gross. I don't want to chew my drink. So we have some conflict. Love to know what you think about it. Go weigh in on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat.
What did I miss?
All right, Annie, I've got some clips here I want to share with you and our listening audience. It's just stuff you missed. So first clip I want to talk about is Sean Hannity. And
let's listen in here.
I don't think Donald Trump's going to like this, but maybe, just maybe, Governor Huckabee, maybe the fact that Joe is on the campaign trail and Donald Trump has to sit in that courtroom because some people get upset when he actually talks or speaks his mind, maybe that'll work to his advantage in the end because Joe makes a fool of himself every day.
Why is Trump not going to like that?
Because he's saying don't go out on the campaign trail and just be quiet and let Joe ruin it. So what do you guys think? Do you think that the reverse basement strategy,
or you mean like no Harlem bodega stuff?
No. He's like not out doing what do they call them, rallies and whatnot. I've heard other people say this too. It's like maybe this will work to his advantage because he'll have less time to say something that the media can spin.
I just think that the closer he is to actual people in situations that exist in other people's real life, not in some, and I've been to two, I've been to one Trump rally and I've been to a different Trump event. The one that I went to in Granite City was more of an event. I don't, if it was open to the public, I mean, I don't know. The other one, I guess you still had to get admission. But that is, there's a literal stage. It is staged. There's an order of events and everything. When you pop into a bodega in Harlem, you're going to get what you get. And you don't know that it's going to be something that's going to have everybody go, whoa, did you see that? But it is. It has been. That's the way it was in Chick-fil-A once again. And I feel like that's probably a pretty inexpensive, very effective way for Donald Trump to get his message out and not let the media weasel their way into the middle of it to try to pervert the message so that by the time it gets to you, it doesn't look as good as it looked when it was just the American people who were consuming it. It's telling that Joe Biden is out trying to do these campaign things, though. Especially paying attention to where he goes. He feels like he needs to be in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I've said before that I really do understand the sort of sit on your hands strategy for Trump throughout this election cycle. But just in the last couple of weeks, the Chick-fil-A thing, these events where he's going into not necessarily rallies, but just places. And I'm sure there's some staging. Like, the Secret Service has got to go in there and sort of set it up. But it's not staged in such a way that it's completely controlled. Things could happen, and they're not. People love this guy, and it's good exposure for him. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
like, that stuff's working.
I was on the, you know, this will help him bandwagon before I saw him at the bodega and before I saw him, like, with the people. And the difference between him at the bodega and Biden at the Wawa, to me, was so stark. I mean, there were people there. There was energy. There was a buzz. Joe Biden, it's like, everybody's like, eh.
It's true.
Like, even on that audio cut that Andy played early.
Not only were people like, eh, that was like the two people who were there.
Yeah. There's nothing going on. And even on that audio cut that Andy played earlier today, you could just hear how flat it was. There's just no energy. There's no buzz about Joe Biden. I do think there's value in making this a referendum on Joe Biden, but I think that Donald Trump has this unique opportunity now to show himself as a man of the people by being amongst the people. So I like the bodega strategy.
Yeah, lots of it. Very grassroots. Get down and dirty with the American people. Listen to them. Let them speak.
Mm-hmm.
React to what they say. Let it ride.
Yep. The next cut I want to play is Biden saying weird crap. And we talked to
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like.
The cannibals ate my uncle.
Why? What is? I know that I hear a lot of people talking about Joe Biden or Donald Trump being a liar, but oh my gosh, the stuff that Joe Biden says is just a flat out, out and out lie. And when I listen to him, it sounds like it's campaign stuff that was in his brain that is just popping off, and he's running almost on autopilot when he says it. But something like this is absolutely ridiculous.
There's a lot of specificity.
Yes, and I think they went back and fact checked him in the, like, the Army Air Corps, now the Air Force's official line on this is that his uncle went missing. You know, missing in action is kind of it.
This sounds like, when I heard this audio, this sounds like a story that the family just kind of concocted, or they talked about themselves,
it's
what if? And now he's not quite all there to have that filter, and it just kind of seeped out, and the family goes, no, we kind of talked about, like, well, maybe, but nobody ever confirmed that there were actual cannibals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Then there's number 17 there, Annie. He keeps going on. He says weird stuff.
The steel tariffs, are you concerned that will hurt your relationship with Xi Jinping or new relationship with him?
No.
Why?
Don't jump.
Like Hillary Clinton advice.
What? Don't jump.
Like, did he look up at somebody?
No, he was in a convenience store, and he's like walking out the door, and this reporter shouts and asks him a question about the steel tariffs, and he's like, no, I'm not concerned about it. And his answer to her follow-up was, don't jump. Why aren't you concerned? Don't jump.
That's what he says when he sees people on balconies.
On balconies.
Almost every time he looks up.
This man is deteriorating before our eyes. And the media wants to talk about Trump falling asleep at court.
Right.
Oh, good grief. All right, let's get away from Joe Biden.
Okay.
Let's talk about something that I found a little more uplifting. Scottie Scheffler, he was the Masters champion. He won the Masters.
Sitting around with my buddies this morning, I was a bit overwhelmed because I told him, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier. But I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling, to know that I'm secure for forever. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament, you know, my identity is secure for forever.
I love this. I don't know anything about him, but I love this comment here because it's about getting, It's about clearing away all the clutter of your life, all the stuff, all the noise. This is the Masters. This is the Super Bowl of golf. And he was worked up. He wants to win. Annie, I'm sure you can relate to that. Winning.
Being worked
I hate
up.
Winning.
Wanting to win.
Yeah.
You know,
you remember
so bad.
The other day when I was like, wow, that was a sexist remark.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
I don't know what that was. Yeah, well, but you should feel judged by that.
I do.
And that's how I felt when you were like, oh, sports story, Brad, you'd know about these things. Yeah,
winning. Annie, you understand this. Ryan, you're fat.
Ryan.
Well, I mean
I'm just pulling together the comments the last couple
Brad
days.
Let Brad explain himself.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're supposed to speak the truth in love, Ryan.
Oh.
Dude, you did a biblical clip with the Masters and Scottie Scheffler, and then you just made a biblical joke about how you're right and I'm wrong, again, causing me to lose and confirming what you just said.
It's next level, right?
It's great.
But in all seriousness, I like that Scottie was able to take all of the buzz, all the other things around.
The kids are fighting.
And get back on the focus of what is really important in
life.
You
want to hear the second half of what
yes,
he said?
Yes, yes.
Well, you'll just have to wait, because they said that I need to reload my page.
I don't, so it's fine.
It's not working.
Okay,
it's
good.
Not
I don't working. Want to hear it
probably
anyway.
Your fault. Ryan. <Yeah. laughs> Ryan, why do you want to be such... Oh, no.
I mean, you guys have done a great job playing clips so far.
Thank
Let
you.
Me handle this one. Oh, look, it won't play.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah,
that
you're
was
welcome.
The one thing, Ryan, you were supposed to do for the show today.
Just play that one clip.
Yeah, that one clip. Dang. I keep trying to play it.
It's not going to work. All right, well, let me talk about it then. What he says, he's asked by a reporter about what defines him. Does golf define you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I don't think golf is what defines me. And the reporter followed up, well, what does? And he said, I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. And ultimately, that is what defines me most. Scottie Scheffler strikes me as a man who is grounded in his faith, and he has a good sense of what his identity is. And he's somebody that I would want my kids, even though I don't have any kids, but he's somebody that I would want my kids to mirror, because I think that he's setting a great example by doing that. It's like there's all this other stuff, and doing all this stuff is great, but if your faith isn't in line, then you're kind of wasting time.
There's something really important about understanding, this is what you're saying, I'm just kind of, I guess, rephrasing it in my own words, but understanding that even in your own greatest failure, you can't fail too big. Mm-hmm. You can't fail your way out of the love and grace that is provided for you. You also can't succeed yourself above it.
Right.
So knowing your actual place and understanding that, as this is what I believe as a Christian, understanding that God's grace and mercy completely envelops me and I am His, makes everything else, I consume everything else that I do, everything else that I get, everything else that I don't have, anything that I achieve, anything that I fail at, and there's a lot of those, it's all under that same understanding. So the little things and the big things are all still in that same context, and it makes life simpler to understand. It's just like I was saying, my kids were, I haven't talked about this yet on the show, I don't know that I did not have intentions to, but my oldest two were confirmed last Sunday. And as I've said before, I'm a Lutheran, like the Christian Lutherans. Can I say that?
Dump.
All the LCMS Lutherans are like, that's my girl! I say that because the ELCA is nuts. And when people hear me say I'm Lutheran, but they're not like super well-versed in the denominations, they see a story, they're like, Annie goes to that church. I'm like, I didn't do it. Those are not the same people.
There's a lot of denominations like that.
The Bible is the focus for the church that I attend. Anywho, last Sunday, my oldest two were confirmed. And my church does confirmation a little bit different than even the way most Lutheran churches do it. There's no like white robes. There's no big ceremonies per se around it. And the pastor believes that a lot of what has materialized with confirmation kind of treats it almost like it's a graduation out of like kiddie church into adult church, and he wants it to be a continuation, not an ending and a beginning so much. I mean, they took communion for the first time. It's a little different than first communion for Catholics. Different conversation for a different day. But what I appreciated was after church was over, we went and they had like cake for my two and the other lovely girl who was confirmed with them. And they opened up, instead of having Bible study, that the whole church goes downstairs and my kids are down there. The other confirmand was down there with their families. And we had some guests, some godparents who wanted to continue to see fit to their duty of being a godparent to see them be confirmed. And what they do is they have the pastor open up conversation for anybody in the church to impart advice or encouragement, whatever it might be, on the confirmands, to speak directly to them as their family in Christ, so on and so forth. But the one thing, like, people could just speak up and say whatever they want to say and so on and so forth. And so I eventually just looked at my kids and I, of all of the things that I want them to know as their mother on the day that they're confirmed in the church that they've been raised in and they've studied it and they understand it. And, you know, we find it to be the most important thing that we can do for them. That's our particular preference in our family. We send them to a Lutheran school so that it is a whole part of their education. It's the most important thing that they'll ever learn, which is why we invest in it. But the idea that when I look at what kids are facing today, one of the reasons why I'm so strict on digital access for my kids is because I live in the news and I see just by the minute stories that come out about how the world is out to get kids. The world is out to get these children, to get them hooked on things, to pull them away from the things that matter, to rearrange priorities underneath the nose of parents, like in a way that parents are set aside. And then when, especially like with a phone, you can put a phone in a child's hand and they have access to the world. It's not just like a text message to their friend in sixth grade or whatever it is. They have access to the world and the world has access to them. And I made stupid mistakes when I was a kid. I would imagine you guys did some stupid things that you just did because you didn't know better, or you knew better, but you didn't know how, when people were saying, do not XYZ, you didn't really realize that it wasn't just some grown up telling you no because they had the authority to do it. If you make a mistake, and this is what I told my kids, and I said this in front of the church congregation that was down in the fellowship hall, I just wanted to look them in the eye. And I said, there is no mistake that you will ever, 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 ever make that is too big for God's grace. There is nothing that you could ever do that is outside of the bounds of God's forgiveness. And your dad and I are right there, but we're also broken people and we make mistakes too. And that means that there's nothing we can do that's too big that's outside of that grace and mercy. But isn't that the thing? You know, if you want to take it out of the context of what I'm talking about in a church basement with confirmation cake where, you know, everyone's saying the expected things, isn't that what kids today are missing? Is this complete and total enveloping hope that they can't screw up too much, like that they are loved. The whole idea of like the love movement culturally, it's so vapid. It's so lacking because it's a confirmation that just as you are right now, that's all you need. And everybody knows themselves to the point where you're like, this is not good enough. There are things about me, there are secrets about me that I know that if everybody knew the truth about, you know, what my addiction is or what my crutch is or what my weakness is or the things that I've done or the things that I said, if everybody knew those things, if everybody was really aware of who I really am, then they would know that it isn't enough. So you hold that inside always because you know you, and I know me, and I know that I'm an incredibly broken person. But for kids these days who are being told around every corner, everything about you is exactly as it should be. And if you change your mind on that thing today till tomorrow, you'll be right again tomorrow. That kids know that that's not actually possible. And it is more confusing to kids today than anything that, in my opinion, we've ever experienced in youth, in America or whatever. Kids aren't made for that. I'm grateful in our house that I get to hopefully make them feel rooted and grounded in faith. But I understand that's not every household experience. It's like you got to find that thing that really can tell a child, a growing child, a maturing child, you are not okay, but you've been made to be perfect. That's the only way in my mind that I can reconcile the brokenness of humanity, but the reach of God's grace. And I was able to say that to my kids on Sunday. And I know that that is not for everybody. It is for everybody. But I know that you might not feel like that's your story. But I do challenge people to look secularly at culture today and see how convincing culture is trying to be to push people into a way that they become even more internally distraught because they know the truth. They inherently know the truth about themselves, and it does not reconcile with what the world is saying. And that is intentional.
Good stuff.
YouTube live chat poll, orange juice, poll or no poll.
Well, let's go longer because it's good.
No, I was going to make an ELCA joke. It's time to take a break. We got to go to break. I don't want to offend people unless you're wrong. So go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. We'll take Ask Us Anything questions when we come back. We'll do a pulp or no pulp once around the room to start it off, but we need your questions. Annie Fry YouTube channel will be right.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
All right, let's ask the YouTube live chat poll question. I don't think we need to discuss it. We just need to answer it. Orange juice, pulp, or no pulp, Ryan?
No pulp.
Leah?
No pulp.
No pulp.
Pulp!
Boo!
I like substance. Kenny D said pulp in my OJ and crunchy peanut butter. At the same time. Joe said, pulp, the more the better. It should feel like tapioca pudding going down the gullet. Ugh. When you put it that way.
You lose.
Okay, let's do, let's go with balls first. If you could be a doctor, what kind would you be? Anyone?
I've got one.
Okay.
I'd like to be an orthopedic surgeon. I think that being able to fix...
Why?
Fix people's joints and injuries and stuff like that is really cool. I've had two ACL reconstructions. I've had meniscus repairs. I've had, you know, orthopedic surgeries. And just the whole process and how it works and all that stuff is fascinating to me.
You guys?
Go ahead, Leah.
I think I'd be a music therapist. So a therapist and that uses music to help people.
Ryan?
I'd be a love doctor. Where people would call in and be like, Ryan, let me tell you about my girl. And I'd be like, Ryan, tell me about your girl.
That's a therapist.
And then I'd play a song for him, you know, like, okay.
So you want to be a nighttime radio DJ?
Yeah, but I want to be called the love doctor.
I would be one of those Jill Biden doctors. When and where is the next AFS event? Jackie wants to know.
So that's going to be at the St. Clair County Republicans Golf Tournament. I believe that's May 17th, but don't quote me on it. I will confirm it later.
Sounds good.
I'm going to cut that and use that every time we talk about the event now, whatever it is.
Yeah. Maybe,
Yeah.
Bobo says, reality TV, yes or no?
Man, I'm a no. I would like to
completely set aside the idea that reality TV is real.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what the category is.
We know. I'm still a no. I just like scripted stuff too much. I get bored with reality TV.
But yeah.
Same. It's not my thing.
Brad?
Yeah, I'm a no. I like a well-crafted story.
I can get into it, but I'd have to have the amount. Like, before I had all these kids and I had choices in my life that had to do with me. Like, I loved watching The Biggest Loser. I get that it was not probably the healthiest way to go about losing weight, and I think it's not on anymore for a reason, but I would watch those weekly elimination shows. I don't I'm not interested in watching them, though, if I have to wait a week. I'm not waiting a week to watch anything.
Yeah.
Ever. Again.
Yep.
I can't think of anything that exists. Like, for instance, The Masked Singer. I'm really interested in that, but I don't want to get hooked on it and then have to wait. And I can't schedule a Wednesday 7 p.m. or whatever the show. That's ridiculous to think about in my life. No, sorry, kids. Mom is watching The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
That's not happening. I would like that to happen, but like I said, yesterday I was trying to watch the news and it was something important and Molly was making me cluck like a chicken while I was on there. And then I had to choose between doing my job and being a mom, and I just chose to cluck like a chicken and be a mom.
And you're talking about competition reality too, which is, it's like a much more invested viewing. Where if you watch something like Ice Truckers, you're just like, well, whatever. I don't know what they're doing this week. They're driving on the ice, aren't they?
Would you consider Duck Dynasty reality TV?
Yeah.
I loved Duck Dynasty.
That was a phenomenon.
I was all about whatever they were doing. You could tell that the whole thing was scripted. You could tell that the way they were presenting themselves. You know what? When I had Al Robertson, we had him on the show, and I did an event with him when he was in St. Louis. He's the older, the non-bearded brother, pastor. I did an event with Al and his wife. Wonderful people. Had dinner with them. It was with Vitae Foundation. It was a pro-life event. And he said at that event that really, Willie and Jace, for the show, switched their personalities. That Jace is a lot more like Willie, and Willie is a lot more like Jace. But for the show, they kind of
swapped
their characters a little bit. Which is funny because when they're doing their thing, you imagine that they're like mentally parodying their brother.
Yeah.
Which after I heard him say that, I thought, I think that this makes sense now. A little bit more to understand who they were as people. You guys got questions?
I do have one, and I want to know because this changes over time too, and we may have discussed this like a year ago, but what is the most excited you've ever been either to do an interview or if you're a producer in the room to book an interview? Go.
You guys can go first.
I was going to say, for me, it's really like the big chase. So I get excited
when we have
about
them in the studio and they won't come in the studio. Brad has to chase them around.
Yeah, I literally have to run them down and be like, get in here.
Yeah.
And drag them by the collar. Yeah.
It's my X's and O's. No.
It's weird watching them go in and out of the doors. You're like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's like Scooby-Doo. Somebody just comes out and I'm looking both ways.
The phrase "we got a runner" is one of the funny. You can yell it in almost any circumstance, and it's always funny.
You want to know what's running?
Yeah, you're like, oh boy, we got a runner. What does that mean?
Yeah,
it's a guest. So it's Kaylee McEnany.
Like, I'm working on some really big national guests. I'm also looking at potential VP candidates possibilities. So, like, I get excited whenever that effort pays off and it comes through. So
Kamala?
It changes.
I know who you're talking about, and I'm offended that you're associating those two things together. I hope that doesn't come to fruition. Not that it would be Brad's decision.
No.
You're going to get Pence.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Potential candidate.
I would say probably the most excited that I've ever been to do an interview was probably talking to Lou Holtz.
That was recent.
That was a cool interview to get.
I don't think you understand what Lou Holtz means to the Fry family household. And it's it's just by marriage, but I paid hundreds of dollars for a Play Like a Champion sign that was signed by Lou Holtz and that's in our basement. And it's one of my husband's most prized possessions. And when he watched that interview, he had like tears in his eyes just watching me talking to Lou Holtz, and Lou Holtz is so fantastic. So it's not like I just got to do this, but Lou Holtz is a treasure. Anytime I get to kind of go outside of the political realm, we have a lot of connections. If there's somebody who we want to get on the show, we have a lot of avenues that are very close to pretty much anybody to get on the show, which may end up in a no, but we're asking people who have the authority to say yes. So you never know. And one of the things, Brad, I'm not calling you out. I'm just identifying when you started in radio, when you got your first radio job, which was this one.
Yeah.
And he, as a producer, he had to book guests. You had to get over the fear of hearing no and the frustration of hearing no. And just like, I'm going to ask again in a different way.
Yeah.
And you've done it. You've done a great job at it.
And my Rolodex was itty bitty when I first started.
Gotten a lot bigger since then.
That's super exciting.
So I'd say Lou Holtz. What about you, Leah?
I think, well, this goes back to when I was at Lindenwood. I don't know what, like, why I thought I could do this, but for some reason I had it in my head. I really wanted to go into radio, and I had it in my head that, well, I wasn't very good at music radio, and I wanted to get better at interviewing people. So for some reason, and I had no business doing it, I started reaching out to bands that were going to come to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like at the pageant and whatnot, and reaching out to their managers and lying and saying, hey, we play your band's music on KCLC. And I work for the radio station. You know, we'd love to do an interview. And I was lying. But there were several people. I think the biggest one that came through was Skillet. And I was this close to getting to interview them, and they canceled last minute. But I probably would have pooped my pants if I would have actually gotten to sit down with them.
We're talking with Skillet.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, interview's over.
I was so bad at interviewing people, so I had no business doing this. But yeah.
Ryan, you have one?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Christian music, sitting there with Stephen Curtis Chapman was neat. I met him a couple times, and that dude is super genuine. And he's just kind of a legend, you know. But the one that I booked here that I was so excited about was Richard Matheson. Now, he's dead, but he's a famous author.
You booked him and he was dead?
It was amazing. Yeah, it was Halloween.
Gosh, Brad, almost, step up your
it
game.
It was almost a miracle.
It's April.
I'll get Reagan.
I want Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln.
All the way
we
back.
We just had Lincoln.
Not on the show, we didn't.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like that Weekend of Bernie story we were just talking about the other day. It was just like that. I talked to his daughter, and she just explained his career. He's famous for writing I Am Legend, a bunch of Twilight Zone, a bunch of Star Trek, I believe. So it was just cool to talk to somebody who was so associated with one of my favorite authors.
All right, let's take a quick break. I've got a question here from a listener that I want to ask you guys. It is, do you have any bad habits? We're going to answer that question when we come back. You can come and leave your comment here. We'll see if we can fit in a few more before 2 o'clock. You guys know we play X's and O's at 2 o'clock every Friday, right? It's a little recap of this week in news. If you've listened the whole week, you should be able to do well on X's and O's. We'll see how much Mark Reardon and Sue Thomas have been paying attention to the show. They are our contestants at 2 o'clock. I am so excited. Neither one of them has played before, I don't believe. I think Mark Reardon has maybe been an expert before. And we have a guest expert in here as well, Fred Bottomer. Let's see how that goes at 2 o'clock. We'll be right back with our bad habits in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Do you have a little Ask Us Anything on right now? And we have been going through a lot of your questions. Thank you for sending them in to the Annie Fry Show YouTube channel. This one from Bobo Farms again. So, do you have any bad habits? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I have been working so hard on this, and one of the things that really helped me out with...
Wait a second. Ryan, don't you think Brad's bad habit's really going to be a good habit that he should be doing better?
It's going to be something that he's already doing pretty well, that he's like, I really need to work. I'm only at like 300 chin-ups. Shooting for 350.
I told myself
if I could
be
do 300. Yeah. No, mine is biting my fingernails.
Okay.
I used to bite my fingernails constantly. Mm-hmm. Like to the point where it would hurt my hands and stuff like that. COVID really helped out with that. I stopped putting my hands in my mouth, which is a really good thing. But
worth it?
Yes. And every now and then, though, when I
was COVID worth it?
No.
Yes, absolutely.
It was
better for me.
Yeah, yeah. Worked out really well for me.
Sorry, everyone else. I'm incredibly selfish.
Stop putting my hand in my mouth.
But every now and then, when I get nervous or stressed out, I'll go back to biting my fingernails. So if you see me doing that on the chat, let me know.
And also tell us your tips and tricks for stopping biting nails. Maybe somebody
I've tried
something.
A lot.
Yeah, somebody has something. Leah, any bad habits?
Yeah. I'm bad at stress eating.
Yeah.
I also think I'm really bad at... These are more like mental things, not physical things. I mean, stress eating is physical, but I also, a lot of people tell me I'm way too hard on myself and I set way too high expectations for myself. So,
so we'll tell you the opposite of that from now on. You're not hard enough on yourself.
Lowering expectations, Ryan.
Yeah.
Let me begin. How long do we have?
One cigarette.
No, go ahead, though. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
I mean, I did
done.
Mean to interrupt you.
I was
you,
done. But... I want to hear yours.
Oh, okay. Do I have any bad habits?
Yeah, we only have 5 minutes left.
No. But let me tell you who does. Katie Wiggins. And I'm going to air one right now.
Ryan,
when
Ryan,
she, okay.
There's still
we have,
time.
We have done this
still
our
time.
Entire marriage.
Here we
she
go.
Treats the sink like it's also a trash can. So, like, she make food, or I make food, and then everything from the packaging and everything ends up in the sink. And I'm like, honey, you can't put a bacon package down the drain. But she doesn't care. She just wants to be focused on the food.
Maybe she's trolling you.
That would be a long-term troll.
Seems to be
and,
working.
And really
that's
impressive.
Kind.
I asked you if you had any bad habits, and you said no, and then you talked about your wife's bad habits.
Yeah.
So maybe she's committed to the troll.
I mean, possibly.
You have no bad habits?
Well, I bite other people's fingernails.
Ew.
Which is a problem. And I also... I not only do I stress eat, I non-stress eat. So I just eat, like, all the time.
Are you ever stressed?
Not really, because I eat, you know?
I'm happy.
Like, if I feel stressed, I just eat, and I'm not stressed anymore, so.
No real bad habits?
Nah, not really.
Brad, you want to do some Ryan bad habits?
Yeah,
since
I got one for Ryan. Ryan likes to talk about his wife on air.
It's a bad habit.
Yeah, it's terrible.
What is your wife?
Oh, shoot. She's not in school today.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, my gosh.
Best.
So we're safe usually, you know, because they don't get out until we're
yeah,
off.
Yeah, because there's no way that she could hear from somebody.
And she's probably
that you just
in the
out-
car right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Oh, well.
So
I guess
now
it's too late.
It's time to say the thing yeah. that makes everything okay about your wife's bad habits, why you love her the most.
What you is- make great bacon.
No.
And I bring home the bacon.
Probably so. Not. Your wife is largely successful.
I really appreciate you. Almost everything about you except
everything
for the trash
you.
And the same
everything
thing.
Everything about you.
Everything about you.
Everything about you.
Except for that one thing.
And it's really awesome. Brian brought in this beautiful bouquet of flowers that he yeah. is going to be bringing tonight to Katie because he was talking about how much she deserved it and he wanted to make sure that she understood that. By virtue of the size of the bouquet that you were bringing. And I
did.
Thought,
yeah.
that is really in tune and in touch
I did, but
with your emotions.
The problem is the company told me I have to plant those for Earth Day. So I'm going to do that, honey.
Well, just
but
take
it's
it,
a job-related thing.
Yeah, just take it to her and show her how much she means to you. And then you guys can decide together where to
you
plant
them. You know what
it.
I'll do is I'll plant them because I don't want to have to drive home and drive back because I was going to plant them right out here.
You can't plant flowers in downtown St. Louis.
No, I really can.
Expect them to live and B, do it for your wife.
I can. So what I'll do is I'll just take a picture of the flowers and I'll
you're
show
gonna
them.
You're going to go find flowers in downtown St. Louis and send a picture to your wife and tell her that those are for her?
I'm going to take a picture off of the internet. And then with nothing in the background, so you can't really see where it is.
This is one of those evenings where I get a picture from my best friend, Mrs. Wiggins, that shows me the flowers that he ended up getting her.
That's not far off.
This is going to happen.
This is one of those evenings I'm going to get a picture of a wrapped up bacon cartridge in the sink from my best friend.
I used to bite my fingernails. I don't really bite my fingernails anymore. I might pick at them a little bit. They're just really thin, and I don't like them when they're long. I don't like it if I'm typing and my fingernails are touching the keyboard. I just don't like the feeling of it. Other bad habits that I have, I am... I want the space around me to be clean, but if it's a space that is like just mine and I don't have to share it with anyone, I'm less motivated to make sure that it's clean. Like, because I know that it's like my stuff. So like my side of the closet is not as clean as the common areas in the house where I have other people who are going to be. Why are you pointing at me like that? Because you know that's my bad habit?
Same.
Or because you're okay.
I am exactly the same. Like if you went and looked at my desk in the office right now, it's just cluttered.
But it's your clutter.
But it's my clutter. And don't touch it because I got a system.
And you understand it.
Yes, and I know where everything is. Don't
yeah.
touch it.
But if you were to walk, I don't know. It's more common spaces. I just don't want the ick to be everywhere, I need to know that the underneath of whatever, because there's clean and there's tidy, and you need to be tidy before you can be clean. And I need it to be clean, so I'm going to need it to be tidy. Unless it's just my stuff, then maybe I might be a little less motivated. Any bad habits, Ryan?
No.
Still?
Yeah, still.
I got another one for him.
Okay.
He fibs. He does not tell the truth a lot.
I don't like the word fib. If you're going to say it, just say
it. You want me to just call you a liar?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a big fat liar.
Big fat liar?
Oh, man!
Man, Brad! My gosh! So judgmental about my body.
Leah, defend him. Ryan.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Why?
Is Ryan a big fat liar? Ooh, she's struggling.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Well, okay. For example.
We got 20 seconds.
Yeah, you said you had a great gift for Annie yesterday. You were so excited to play it for her. You said it was going to be all about her.
Oh, no, I did not say that. I said it was about April 18th.
You said it was for her birthday.
It was for her birthday. Happy birthday.
It was. My birthday's over.
Well, just a reminder that you had it.
You can stop acknowledging me so much.
He was lying.
We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.